Welcome to the Livecast Construction Experience Podcast. I'm Kieran Brennan, co-founder of Livecast.com. Finally, the construction sector has entered its digital transformation, meaning the way we operate our projects and businesses day to day is being disrupted. This podcast is designed to help you in all areas of your business. We do this by bringing in experts across all key areas of a construction business who share their stories, their challenges, wins, and losses so others can learn from their experiences. To watch previous episodes, please visit livecast.com or search livecast.com across all popular social platforms. I hope you enjoy the show.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. You're very welcome. Today, we're joined with Shane Dempsey, Director of Communications for the CIF, to talk through what does level 3, 4, or 5 restrictions mean for the construction company. I suppose this all sort of started on Sunday night when Sunday the 4th, when I suppose the nation got rocked a little bit when NEFID made recommendations to government that we should go to level 5 of the Living with COVID plan. I suppose the question was, were you ready had that been enforced? But it's a lesson, I suppose, that created a question for business owners and operators. And like, are we fully prepared for level 3, 4, or 5 government restrictions? And what do these restrictions actually mean to our project? So firstly, Shane, thank you very much for your time. You're very welcome.
Pleasure, Kieran. Thanks for having me.
We last talked actually in mid-April when we were sort of in mid-lockdown. You came in and you gave us some great tips, and that was all about getting back to work. I suppose we haven't spoken since then. Fortunately, personally, how are you getting on?
Great. Yeah, great. It's busy. Sunday night was a bit of a disaster. Not personally, but it was very busy from Sunday night on and Monday morning, yeah. As you can imagine, getting lots of calls. But generally, it's been very positive on sites. And I can't go into the exact figures from the HSE, but our incident rate is absolutely negligible, even though you'll see it in the paper when there's an outbreak. That's the same in any sector. But yeah, our incident rate is negligible, and the number of people affected on site with COVID is absolutely negligible compared to the 150,000 people actually operating in the industry. So behind the scenes and within the government structure and apparatus, there's an acknowledgement that the guys on sites and the companies they work for have done a huge amount of work and continue to do so. And, you know, most of the, when we talked last, it was, how do you, we were worrying about COVID spreading on sites. Yeah. Now we're worrying about stopping COVID coming onto sites. And the evidence would indicate that we're doing a very good job at that. And even when there is an incident on site, we're locking it down really effectively. So the guys out there working and the companies who are really insistent on the SOP, they're doing a service to their employees, to their families, they're doing a service to the wider community and to the nation and to the economy. Every week they work actually starts to generate revenue for the exchequer. It's been brilliant watching that.
It was sort of late April when we spoke, and I suppose if you look at this in a phased approach, we had around Paddy's Day, somewhere around there, I think everyone felt this could be really serious. And then we had March 28 was a shutdown. And then we had between then and I think it was May 18th when we had full lockdown. And then May 18th was let's get back to work. And now we have Sunday the 4th, which I think is another milestone where we say, actually, we're not okay. This could actually go right back to March 28th. So I suppose since we last spoke, and since if we look at the sort of back to work, May 18, getting projects moving again, back to work safely, how's that been? What's the general outlook there? What sort of results are you seeing? I mean, you're saying infection rates are minimal, which is brilliant, but what else have you seen out there?
We're in contact with the HSE and a specific steering committee set up for industries to monitor industries as a result of the meat industry issues and nursing homes. So we're sitting in on that, and the feedback, the statistical feedback is very positive in terms of the numbers of incidents. So Sunday night was an eye opener and a bit of a a bit of an epiphany for everybody, and you know, the people texting me and calling me, and from our industry and other industries at this stage, because we're kind of recognized as having led the way anyway. It was kind of an eye opener for people that if we move to level four, we are back at March 28th, essentially. You know, so it is an effective shutdown of industry. Now, we have been working for the last month, because we foresaw this coming. When we saw the plan originally, we went straight to, at what point does the industry need to shut down, or would it be shut down? To our interpretation, to the very, very strict interpretation that the boys and the companies working on site and their clients would have to adopt, we saw status level three as status quo. Construction sites keep open, people can travel to work. Level four, only designated workers, which in the previous shutdown we weren't, construction workers weren't. And, you know, level five, essential services only. And we weren't considered essential either at that point, you know, on March 28th. Now, if you remember correctly, they announced the shutdown. It was very NEFA-driven at the time. It was very health policy-driven. All the politicians were working, you know, off that basis, and that they were leading. So NEFA called the shutdown, or gave the opinion, and Simon Harris called the shutdown, and then the industry had to shut down, and then it took a day or two for them to come out and clarify what businesses could and couldn't open. And our interpretation at that stage was, it's not all construction. If you remember then, we and I think I was fairly accurate in my prediction, we'd be 6 weeks in a pure shutdown, and that's as it came to pass. But at that point, Leo Varadkar announced that, you know, of course construction can open again. And then we had a whole debacle about indoor, outdoor, which was totally academic, and we chose to just push on and not ignore that unworkable classification of construction, you know, and guys got back on site. So what we have been trying to do, I suppose, and this is important to the people prepping out there and, you know, scheduling work and ordering materials and even asking, you know, workers to come back and self-isolate for 2 weeks. We have been working tirelessly for the last 2 or 3 weeks to make sure that the construction industry is designated as essential so that it can operate at level four and five. The soundings we're getting from the senior civil service group that Martin Fraser is the head of are very positive. There's an acknowledgement we are able to operate safely. But that thing that everybody needs, which is absolute clarity, is not forthcoming yet. We're in contact with them every day. The minute we hear, we'll let you know, kind of thing, you know.
And is there a clear definition as to what construction projects are deemed essential?
The previous list, the previous definition was any construction that supports global networks, data centers, you know, medical, health, pharma, that kind of stuff, right? But like the big elephant in the room is none of this is definitive, none of this is legal, none of this is you know, specific and defined. And that was the real lesson for us from the last time. There was enough wriggle room for the industry to stay open the last time, and that's how the government designed the statement, so they're ambiguous and all of that kind of stuff, and we can use our judgment and deem what's appropriate. But for the industry itself and its clients, that ambiguity is just, it's a killer, because faced with that, it contractually, logistically, from a safety point of view, from an insurance point of view, you just cannot operate on that basis. So we push that message to everyone who listened within the government to say, we're just saying now, if you move to level four and we don't get specifics, we'll be forced into, you know, a radical reduction in the amount of activity that's going on. And that's bad for everybody, because we're one of the only domestic sectors that's operating, you know, at anywhere near capacity at the moment.
Yeah. And I suppose let's try and break this down. Like, the majority of Ireland went from 2 to 3 restrictions. What changes does that make, if any, to projects?
None, as far as we're concerned. So projects that remain open and people can travel to work, because you're allowed to move counties and travel from Dublin to Cork or Limerick or whatever it is to work, right? So What it does do is it puts a lot of pressure on those people who are working on projects that are on to really follow the SOP. So in party political broadcasts, like, guys, like, the more you adhere to that, the bigger the impact on the community in terms of safety, but the more likely we are to not have to move into lockdown level four. Like, not only are you now kind of working to keep your own livelihood going, you're actually... we're such a big industry that we could demographically impact whether we go to level four or epidemiologically go to level four. So there's an added onus on you now, sorry, to really adhere to that SOP for the sake of your industry, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no material difference apart from the moral requirement and, you know, economic requirement to really do things. And if that means slowing down a bit and, you know, social distancing and dealing with that kind of logistical, do it and tell the guys not to be grouping together at lunchtime outside Spar and, you know, traveling in together and without the proper social distancing within the vehicles and all that. Like, all of that stuff now has to be totally refocused on. But so that's the only kind of change, that it becomes even more important so we don't go to level four, because currently that equates to a shutdown. So, in
terms of shutdown, then, I mean, there's a lot of talk that it's inevitable that we will hit level four. What does that mean? Are we, from the CIF's perspective, is that a full shutdown?
From as it currently stands, as we can interpret it, you know, based on what the government are saying, if we move to level four, you know, the classification of the designated worker that was previously in situ will be used. That's all we can assume. And in that case, construction workers are not deemed essential. So the only construction work that could validly continue is the facilities management on Intel and, you know, Amazon and those large data centers and you saw how minimal that was. We saw the whole industry kind of lose 35%, 40% of its activity levels when the shutdown happened. It's a fairly, level four is a tough situation. Like, it is effectively a shutdown, you know, like housing, residential in the previous definition wasn't essential, deemed essential, and the construction workers weren't deemed, you know, designated essential workers. So as it currently stands, we think it would have to stop. So that's why we're saying to the government, every minute that we get through every contact, guys, if you don't give us the definition or assign us essential, we can't operate safely in all good conscience.
So if we can try and get as practical as we can, like, if I'm a business owner, what could I do to prepare for these further restrictions, or even, as we say, a full lockdown?
It's a tough one to prepare for. Like, you, in any influence you might have at a local level in terms of the political system, if you reflected the message that we need clarity, we need certainty, et cetera, that will help. And it's worth the effort in terms of keeping the industry open. The preparation, you know, the key thing, the Joe Schmidt control the controllables kind of thing, is make sure that now, as we speak, you're at level three, your employees are adhering to the SOP to the nth degree, right? We've been saying to our members in any meetings over the last while that it's now gone beyond just you're a business and you have employees or subcontractors. You know, make sure they behave on site or adhere to the SOP. We're saying you, as influencers of your employees and subcontractors, need to get the message to them that when they leave the site and they go home into the community, they still have to adhere to the guidelines, you know, to the HSC guidelines. Yeah. Because if whatever now shut down and we get a too many clusters or too much of an incident, you can see what will happen. The health people will say, the construction industry can't operate safely, you know. So, and that's even more likely as other sectors shut down and the community thing spreads. It's more likely that guys are going to come in. So, nobody wants to be preaching or you know, telling employees how to behave after, but we have to do everything we can. The benefit is that you're actually, if you are getting through to employees about how they operate at home, how they adhere to the social distancing outside work, you're benefiting your business, them, their communities, etc. So look, it's just in exceptional times, you have to take exceptional steps, you know.
The SOP, the standard operating procedures document that you guys drew up was brilliant at the time, gave a lot of guidance to a lot of companies. Is that what we're saying? Is that our Bible going forward? Whether we're a small company, big company, this is what we should be following?
That's the Bible, yeah. That's the Bible. It's been updated four or five times now at this stage. It's now got a behavioural element, which I think we'll talk about later on. It's got advice on messaging. It's got all the latest definitive interpretation of the HSE and NPHET guidelines, but it's also starting to get, you know, bits of advice and best practice in it as well. So you can you have to follow the guidelines, yeah. But there are additional bits that you can choose to use there. So it's all on the website. The Back to Work resource pack is there, which gives you a checklist to start working on how to operate, which is still valid. So do log on to the site. It's free to anybody, whether you're a member or not a member. We don't care on this one at all. The induction program, which I think we were setting up when we talked last, completed by, or it's still operate, it's still going, but it's been completed by over 200,000 people. Now we clock the industry as having, by the CSO statistics, 147,000 people. So there's obviously loads of suppliers, there's loads of other industries using the induction as well. People doing it a number of times, I'm sure. There's people coming in from overseas. So look, go do the induction, guys, as well. That's kind of, you have to have it done. So look, over the last couple of weeks, there'll be fatigue. What we're hearing is there's fatigue coming in, and like behavioral scientists will say this as well. You know, you keep your message consistent, but you refresh it. You know, you change the posters, you change the way you deliver it, you do a toolbox whatever it is, you put out leaflets, whatever it may be, to just keep re-emphasizing the message. And we have Construction Safety Week coming up on October 19th. So obviously COVID will be a huge part of this, but I empathize, because we have to make sure that accidents and fatalities on site are minimized as well. So you now have people who, you know, teamwork was a part of staying safe on site, looking out for your mates, and now COVID is saying stay away from your mate, you know. So there's it's tough on the employees, workers, subbies, and of course company owners as well. So but Safety Week should be a good chance to refresh the message, get a bit of levity into the thing, get people where they can carrying out safety activities on site, sending the content to us, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But yep. And it really puts a good message out to the people who might be in a room sitting deciding whether we go to level 4 or not, or whether the industry is designated essential or not, to see visibly, you know, Construction Safety Week. So usually it's a bit of a PR campaign, but this year it's really important that everybody participates. So log on again and you can do so.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of other industries, I think we definitely have a bit of a head start, because we're so heavy on safety anyway, even pre-COVID. I mean, the behavioural science element of this, I mean, CIF had, I suppose, the pleasure of sitting down with Professor Pete Loon, who's on the ESRI, and he's a leading pioneer for behavioural science, and he's also on the subcommittee with NPHET. What were the key findings from the CIF's engagement with Professor Loon in terms of how we are dealing with COVID?
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Young men, not like me, more like you, Ciara, underestimate the severity or the likelihood of catching COVID and spreading it, you know. So there's an element of invincibility within the young male psyche, you know, Peter Lund will say, and as a result, we don't behave as safely as we should, maybe, which is probably no insight. But in terms of COVID, it shows that we the young men generally under 40 recognize how serious the disease is, but don't recognize enough how dangerous it is to be inside, how dangerous it is to be close. Again, they see that it's dangerous, but they think they're invincible. So that leads to blind spots and, you know, slips and all of that. So so that was one kind of key insight. And the message from him was, you know, if you have to keep re-emphasizing and refocusing the message. But generally, yeah. So he was talking about under 40 males. We've 147,000 people in the industry. 90% of them probably are men. And, you know, 90% of that or 80% of that are probably under 50, you know. So it's bang on. We're men. We need to look after ourselves and our mates. The key insight that he found, that he pointed out as well, that you'd know personally from your own social interaction, is you're probably more afraid of giving the disease than getting it. As a young person, you're going, look, I'll deal with it kind of thing, or I'll take this little risk. But when someone says to you, well, you could give it to this person or that person, or if you have to get the test, as someone close to me did, we ended up having to call everyone to say, and we weren't told to do it, but you end up having to call everyone you've been in contact with, you know, to say just in case. And then they say, oh, well, you know, okay, I better not go and see my parents for a week. And you realize, you know, and it's trying to get that kind of concept across to them. Key thing, the piece of advice he had was as well, try and instill the safety message into teams, right? Because teams exert social pressure. So earlier on I was saying it's hard for business owners or employers to tell the lads to behave in a certain way after work, at home, you know. Who's your man to tell me to do that kind of thing? But teams can exert a bit more pressure. And it just so happens, as you mentioned already, construction is based on safety and it's based on teams. So he said you have a natural advantage there. Yeah. So look, it was fascinating. He's a very interesting man as well. And it's the next frontier, I suppose, in how we deal with all of this.
It's been an interesting approach, I thought. I mean, haven't had time personally to absorb Professor Leon's findings. I mean, is there anything you think we can do better to combat COVID-19 on our sites?
It's a constant battle, I think, to make sure that when, and it's all the safety stuff the lads have been, you know, absorbing for decades, right? But it's that bias trap, you know. The minute you absorb all the safety stuff, the minute you get good at it, is the moment you're most susceptible to, you know, bias, and most susceptible to kind of relaxing. So you don't want people on edge the whole time. That can lead to different issues, and, you know, mental health as well as, you know, actual performance issues. But what you want is, I suppose, your messaging about COVID, which is everywhere now, and there's a bit of kind of blindness about it. You want it in unusual places or at unusual times. So obviously you're changing your posters, changing your messages. But if you could think of places that are eye level, that when you walk onto the site or when you walk into the canteen, you know, those kind of things. So yeah. The behavioral science story that I love is the toilets in the train station in Amsterdam. You know, they were concerned about, I'm going to put this politely, splashback from the male urinal. So they put a little fake fly in the bowl of the toilet, and of course everyone concentrated their minds onto that, and splashback was reduced by 50%. So, you know, you need Peter Lund will say this, you need innovative ways of getting people's attention with the same message. So a great idea, especially coming up to Safety Week, is outsource it to your employees. You'd be amazed at what they come back with, but also it engages them in the process. Some of the ideas would be bizarre, some of them, but the whole thing gets them thinking about it in a different way. So, you know, that and anything they produce, you know, send it on to us, and we'll promote it through our channels during Safety Week. But not the urinal one. We don't want any urinal stuff there. That's all right.
From a personal point of view, I mean, obviously what we do is we manage costs for a lot of companies. And I remember when you guys done the Back to Work webinar, Tom Parlin mentioned that we would face a struggle But looking at the viability of projects due to the restrictions, has there been any reports back from companies with feedback on how they're dealing with affecting of you know the profitability on their projects?
Yeah. Again, I've been really impressed as a kind of an outsider to construction, as I've mentioned before. You know, really, really impressed at how you know vigorously we were told as the CIF, listen, just watch how quickly you know we can get back to full capacity and high productivity levels. And I was, you know, I was thinking this is going to be a major challenge, but generally, most the 1,100 sites in the country, you know, over certain sites are all operational again. They're all pretty much, they're reporting to us, they're all pretty much, you know, at full capacity. So they're kind of back at operational levels that they were. Now, there are productivity issues, I'm sure, based on social distancing and so on. But the companies have been working with their clients, who have been good generally as well, on understanding the costs associated with these kind of productivity issues. The thing that has happened is timelines have been exploded out a bit, which will cause some difficulty discussions, I'm sure, later on in the year. But because there was such a gap and such a shutdown, everyone just got back into it and started the process of working again and really kind of trying to complete. I wouldn't say there's too much new stuff going on, if that makes sense. Everyone's trying to complete the work that was done as quickly as possible to the timeline. So the CSO stats on the housing show that commencements, even though output this year will be higher than they thought after the COVID collapse shutdown, commencements dropped by 45% in quarter two, which means that everyone's spending their time, and I'd say this is the same in other sectors, everyone's spending their time now catching up on stuff that's happened. And the real concern will be with that commencement drop, cliff, whatever, when the completions are done this year, there'll be a lack of commencements and work in the pipeline halfway through next year, you know? And if we were looking at it from a public sector projects point of view, there's definitely been a slowdown in the commencement of, we'll say, processes to start the projects going. So again, as you'd expect, the clients in the public sector are looking at their own specific project and working with the contractors to get it through. At the same time, you have the government at the high level saying we're going to continue to pump, you know, 9 billion, 10 billion, we think it might be on budget day, maybe even 11, you know, into the public sector, infrastructure, road, rail, etc., right? Social housing also. But that message there, as you can imagine, has to filter down to the public sector contracting authorities as well and employer bodies. And we see a gap there where they seem to be waiting to begin these processes whilst the current work has been completed. And we are concerned that that might cause a kind of a drop off mid next year as well. And that's deeply concerning, because if the international investors, it's all connected, of course, the international investors looking at Ireland, you know, see a drop off in housing and infrastructure, they go, you know, is it as attractive? We're already stuck with a bit of a housing problem. You know, our infrastructure is good, but what's there is good, but we need a lot more of it, kind of thing. And you just don't want the likes of Google and Facebook or wherever it is, especially when they're facing international, you know, turmoil and making tough decisions. You don't want them going, yeah, Ireland isn't looking like it's going to be, you know, dynamic in the next while. So Joe Schmidt, control the controllables, invest in infrastructure and housing now while money is cheap. The return on investment then is huge from backing construction. So, if I was the pessimist in me is worrying about that gap. The optimist is saying there's still a huge demand for housing, still a huge demand for infrastructure. The IMF recently came out and said the way to build recovery is investing in public infrastructure. The NDP has been reviewed and the horizon has been expanded. Three ministers and the Taoiseach have said that, you know, capital investment will be maintained. You know, all the all the demand stuff is very, very, very strong. So all we say to government is, we've said it in our budget submission, is 10-year time horizon is fantastic for us to plan. But if there's a year gap before that 10-year vision starts, then a lot of companies will fall into it and never get out of it, you know, so, and that hurts the capacity. So overall, I have to say I have a positive outlook for the industry, because I really think that the funding is going to come from the public sector, or from the government particularly.
It is nice to hear some positive news in the mix of everything being uncertain and, you know, talk of everything it is. And hopefully we do get that sort of good news in the budget, because I think everyone would need that bit of a lift. The CIF have Safety Week coming up, Shane. What dates have you got for us on that?
The 19th, Monday the 19th to the 23rd of October.
Yeah.
And each day, as usual, each day of that week, we will have a specific theme. And you're going to catch me out now as I rapidly try to look it up on the site to remember which teams we have for each of the days. But I know that the Monday will be dealing with mental health. And we're partnering with the Lighthouse Charity on that Monday. So we're going to encourage every company in the industry make contact with the Lighthouse group who offer support for workers and families affected by issues in construction. Then we'll have your more standard safety issues like falling from height. Again, the stats this year from the CSO, most of the fatalities are relating to falls from height. So that's a really critical thing that we have to work on, particularly around the smaller SME, micro enterprises, sole traders. Like, when I look at the stats and I read them, you know, they give a brief description of how things happened, and it's guys, you know, falling off scaffolding, you know, that they put up themselves on a renovation job. It's just tragic, but it's just one guy or two guys on a site, like generally now. So we're trying to get that message out as much as possible. There's obviously the mechanical driving kind of issues, one of the days, power lines would be another one, and knowing where power lines are and so on. The fifth one escapes me. You can write in and tell me what the fifth one is. If you look at the website, you'll see all the themes, but also how you as a company or an individual can get involved. So you can just sign up as a partner, take the logo, put it on your website. We'll promote you as being a partner of it, and again, we'll be delivering our social media, to use that horrible verb, all five videos that we've created to kind of get the message out there. So there'll be a big social media push on it. We'll have a few messages from different politicians and other stakeholders. And I'm sure our mutual friend, Rory O'Connor, the safety ambassador for the CIF, will appear at some point as well. So yeah, looking forward to it. If you can do anything to push it with your listenership, we'd really, really appreciate it.
We certainly will. We'll in our notes and this show notes and stuff like that, we'll certainly put in the links to that. I'll put you on the spot there and nearly caught you out. Let's see if I catch you out with this one. Have you got a top maybe two or three tips for what businesses can do? Not to prepare for maybe what we expect on in 3 to 4 level, but maybe over the next sort of 3 to 6 months. Is there anything we can do as businesses to be in better preparation for what might come?
Yeah, I suppose it's continue. I know this is a boring answer, but it's continue the and redouble the efforts around the SOP. And you might be on a small job somewhere or a small site, and it's, you know, a couple of guys, and you're going, what is the point in, you know, this kind of procedure, you know, this procedural SOP thing, keeping people apart, and we're on a tiny project, like it all counts. So like do your bit. That's all you can do for your own business and for the industry. And it's hugely important, like, because the HSE call one incident of COVID or two They call that an outbreak, and you know, then the media portray it as an outbreak, and it sounds like there's 50 people, you know, it's only one incident, you know. So you might be on a small site, but you could end up being one of 10, and 10 might be the figure where they go, right, the industry shouldn't be designated X. So that's one of the things you can do. It's very hard to give you a second one, because I'm just thinking of the wonderful Brexit that we're going to face as well. So it's really good business practice. It's get the relationships going, keep your eyes open to what work is coming down the line. It's really get out there. If it's possible at all, build relationships with your employees, keep the lines of communications going, because they're going to be under serious pressure. Consult with us insofar as you can, you know, and the documents are putting out. I think every second or third day we've a thing called the All Member Circular, and it's literally, it might be written as one of our subject matter experts or directors is in talking to a politician. We could be writing it as we're going along. The information is that kind of up to date, so keep your eyes and ears peeled on that, you know. But that's it. It's kind of keep the relationships and communications going with your clients, in the hope of, you know, work in 2021. Obviously, you know, working through all the supports that are there. There's a whole range of supports that we kind of tend to think, oh, that's not for me. I have a job. I have a project. I have X, so I'm okay. Like every other sector, you know, draws down on these supports that are put there for us, for businesses, for SMEs. So contact us and talk to us, but educate yourself about what grants there are available, and they will help. Sometimes they're a little bit tricky for construction companies to apply and access, but they're generally worth a bit of paperwork in the end, you know.
Yeah, I'd echo that, and the message clear one there is keep going, because you know this can turn, and you know it's been a quick 6 months, I suppose, since it happened, and it's going to be another quick 6 months by the time we could actually try and get out the other side. So definitely, I suppose, I'd echo that message and just keep going. This won't last forever. So where can people find out more about the CIF, and I suppose the benefits of being a member of the CIF?
Yeah, so CIF.ie will have all the latest info, and we've made anything COVID related just open to people in the industry, because you know we need everyone, whether you're a member or not, whether you like us or don't like us, we need you to operate off that base. So that's all free, and I think if you started to engage with that, you'd say, okay, there's a benefit here, and then you might be interested in the IR HR advice that we have, you know. And like, companies don't realize this, I won't go on too much with promoting ourselves, but basically, if you have an issue, an IR issue or a HR issue, and you have to hire a barrister or a lawyer, you know how much that costs by the hour. Your CIF membership is a fraction of what one engagement with one barrister would be, and you, God forbid, you'd have lots of issues, but you can draw down on our services, whether you're paying the minimum sub or whether you're BAM or CISC or whatever it is. We are egalitarian. We deal with SMEs from all over, you know, all over the country on an equal basis. So yeah, to probably get involved, talk to your peers. You can see who's a member of the CIF on the site, and you could maybe talk to your peer and say, well, how do you find it, and so on. So a sales pitch over. Sorry, Kieran.
It usually is in times of trouble when you sort of need this help, and you know it comes in handy. So there's no question. Shane, you've been very, very kind with your time. We do appreciate it, and thanks very much.
No, thank you, and keep up the good work. It's great to have a voice in the industry. Thank you.